Well, for those of you who are here visiting today, you're saying, what in the world's going on? Okay. By the way, if this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad to have you. We have a gift for you, by the way, at the end of the service as you're walking out to your left. I hope you'll pick that up. What we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is our third week. We have one more week to go. Is we've been talking about the fork in the road. First week, we heard Joanne and Phil and Zach Martin's story. Powerful story. They had multiple opportunities to say, God, I don't believe in you anymore. I don't like you anymore. I'm not a happy camper here. I think I'm going to go take my toys and play elsewhere. But neither one of, in any of the opportunities, any of the forks in the road that they had, did they turn from God. Now, did they get mad and upset and angry at times and somewhat confused? You bet, because we're all human. The Martin story is a story of staying true to their relationship with the Lord. And God's been faithful through all of their life and continues to be. Last week, we heard a powerful testimony from Jason and Cynthia. Jason came in here 3.5-4 years ago on a Sunday morning at the end of service. And I came up to him and asked, are you looking for somebody? Which is actually the perfect question to ask because he was looking for Jesus. And so I was able to, you know, lead him to the Lord here. And he has not stopped. He has not let off the gas off of the pedal of the accelerator. He's been a diligent disciple of Christ. He has grown in relationship with the Lord. But you look back on the first 40-something years of his life, and it was one where he should have died multiple times, had guns held to his head, drove under the influence many times where he should have wrecked, and on it goes. Just the decisions that he made, the forks in the road, kept bringing him away from the Lord. Someone mentioned this the other day where it's not just one fork, it's actually multiple forks, because once you take a fork away from the Lord, you tend to kind of take another fork away from the Lord, and then another, and it just keeps getting further and further away. But here's the beautiful thing about God, is that even though you make decisions away from Him, the Bible says that He'll always be there. His Spirit's always there, drawing you in. Because one of the things about the Holy Spirit that He does is He convicts us of sin, and He never lets us alone. How many can testify to the fact that God, even in your sin, never lets you alone? Aren't you thankful for that? So, Jason, just know this. The Holy Spirit was constantly tugging at your heart the whole time, and that you were at the point of whether you wanted to live or take your life because of some things that were going on about 3.5 years ago, and you made the choice to agree with and yield to the Holy Spirit leading you. And thank goodness for Google. We can claim one soul for Google because of Google, because he Googled the church and it said Faith Boulevard, and he loved the name of the street. He said, well, because of Faith Boulevard, I think I'll come try out that church. So, okay, praise God. And so he's passed two others to get, yeah, and I know a lot of us pass, hey, a church alive is worth the drive, amen? All right. So, glad to have you, Jason, and Cynthia as well. And Cynthia, both of you had such powerful testimonies. But today, we're here with Faye. And so Faye Reynolds has been coming to Faith Assembly since 1995. Is that correct? Since 1994. So 25 years or so, she's been attending this church. And you've seen a lot of ups and downs in this church. And I know you served the Lord for a lot longer than that. But what we know of you, Faye, is that you come here, you're faithful in your worship, you're a sweet, beautiful, solid lady, woman of God, and you're a lady. And we also know that you're the mother of Stephen Reynolds, and Robin is your daughter-in-law. You have another son, Scott, I believe is his name, and other family and grandsons and all of that. And you've been a diligent, faithful servant of the Lord, and I just appreciate your heart, and I love your intelligence. You have a very dry sense of humor too, which I love. But Faye, you've come here for 25 years now, but before that, you have served the Lord for many years. But we're talking about forks in the road, which, by the way, you look lovely today, as always. You try, okay? Well, you try well, you do well. But what is the fork in the road that you would like to share with us, and maybe give us a little more insight as to who you are and what the Lord has done in your life?
Maybe I'll start with the beginning, I was in a family, there were five children. I was second to the oldest. I had a wonderful mother, and I had a hard father. But he, with a third grade education, fed five children and a wife and kept a roof over our head. So I'm very thankful for that. But we lived out in the country out on the Albemarle Highway in Charlotte. And when I was in the 10th grade, we moved into town out on South Boulevard near Dilworth. And up until that time, I had not been to church. I never went with my mother and father. Sometimes we would go to Statesville, and I would go with my grandmother to her Church of Christ. But I had no churching. But when we moved, when I was in the 10th grade, a little girl four houses up, Judy, came down to meet the new neighbors, and she invited me to her Baptist church. And thank God for invitations. Amen. So I went, and that was the first time I'd really heard the gospel, and I just jumped on it. And I accepted the Lord and was baptized and went to church every time the doors were open that Daddy would let me out of the house. If we did anything wrong, you're not going anywhere, he would say. And so I couldn't go all I wanted to, but I went every chance I got. But anyway, when I was 16, I left home. I had had it up to here. Now, I don't know that I prayed about that. I'm sure I did not. But anyway, I left home, but God was with me. Daddy sent word through different people to get my bleep home.
So Heine, your Heine home. Heine. Yeah.
Well, I bleeped it. Okay. So my pastor took me up to the Judge Gatlin in Charlotte to, and he assured me I did not have to go home. But anyway, through God's grace and mercy, somehow I finished high school, working before I went to school and working after I went to school.
When you left, where did you go? Who did you live with?
I ran over to my preacher's house because his two daughters were dear friends, and I ended up living with my Sunday school teacher until I finished high school. I was very independent, so I gave her $2 a week to defray my water and electricity. I bought my own food.
I'm not going to say that $2 a week it won't cover it. I'm not going to say how old you are, but $2 a week, that's a little while ago, wasn't it? $2 a week? Because I'm not sure $2 a week would cover it now.
I don't think it would. It probably didn't then. But, I mean, it's all I
had. Made you feel good, though, didn't it?
It was all I had.
Yeah.
But anyway, I finished high school, got to college. That's another story. Miraculous. Played out miraculous. Thought I'd go one semester. I graduated. I don't know how that happened because I had no support from home, but I did work. I do have a good work ethic. And so then skip forward, and we'll get to, that was one crossing, fork.
Yeah, so let me just stop right there just because I want to point out a couple of things before you move on to the next phase here. I think it's interesting to note first that you moved into a neighborhood. Was it 10th grade? Or you were 10 years old or 10th grade?
10th grade.
10th grade, so roughly 15 years old-ish. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, you hadn't heard the gospel at all. But it took someone four doors down from you inviting you to church. And I just want to emphasize how important that is. You said, thank God for invitations. I just want to emphasize how important that is. Even in a nation where right now many people are saying that we live in a post-Christian society, back when you were 15 years old, we lived in more of a Christian society, and it wasn't that long ago. But we've seen a really speedy trajectory towards post-Christian society. But even when you were 15, there was more of a presence of God as far as a lot of churches. In the culture, there was more respect and more appreciation and understanding. But even with that, you didn't know anything about the gospel. And so I just want to emphasize that we can't assume that people know about Jesus. The only Jesus that most people may know is that he's a swear word. They don't really understand too much about him and what he did and who he is and all of that. And so, you know, Faye, I know you weren't, you know, some wild person, I would imagine, but that you just had no exposure to the gospel, and it took someone inviting you. Thank God for that. And as soon as you heard the gospel, you responded immediately. And so I just want to say real quick, for those of you who know people that aren't serving the Lord, don't assume that they've heard about Jesus. Maybe they haven't. And maybe you're the one to share with them the gospel, or maybe you're the one to put them in your back seat and bring them here so that they can hear the gospel here. And then your Sunday school teacher and all the rest of these people, your pastor and his children, all of them discipled you, grew you to a place where you had a solid foundation. Thank God for people that stuck their neck out and said, won't you come to church with me? I want to encourage us to all be that way. If you know someone, invite them to church. Let's invite people to know Christ. Let's not assume that anybody knows who Jesus is. Go ahead. Let's take that next step now. You just graduated college, miraculously.
Very miraculous.
In your words. But you're a smart lady, so I can imagine.
Well, in high school, God was with me the whole time, because in high school I was going to be a good secretary. So I took shorthand typing and all the bookkeeping and all that. But that helped get me through college. I typed people's papers, you know. And
you didn't take SAT tests for people, did you? Because people get in trouble during that.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm out of college.
Fair enough.
I missed something, didn't I?
It was on the news this week. Someone, anyway, yeah.
Well, that one.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, okay.
I didn't do that.
I'll follow up with you later.
okay, so went up to Virginia, taught school, and then met a man and got married. And was happily married and had two beautiful little boys. The whole time I was married, my husband was getting his master's degree and then getting his doctor's degree. And finally got that, and we moved, and he was on staff at Appalachian State Teachers College. And my boys were in school, and I couldn't get a job teaching because teachers were a dime a dozen. It was a teacher's college, and teachers were everywhere. So I decided I'd go back. Again, I hope you're seeing God in this, because he was. I decided I'd go take some courses. So I ended up getting a master's in guidance and counseling during that time. Well, about the time I was getting that degree, my husband became involved with a lady at work. And for a year, he came and went, couldn't decide which one of us. Anyway, she won. As I was finishing my master's, I had two professors in particular, and so I was heartbroken. I was a basket case, and I would go talk with them, you know, to find out what to do. And they both would say, you're young, you're attractive. I was 36 at that time. You're young, you're attractive. We'll get you a job down off the mountain. And, you know, and I'd say, yeah, and get to my car. And I'd just break down crying because that's not what I wanted. I did not want a divorce. So God led me to a lady who turned out to be my spiritual mother, who introduced me to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She taught me about forgiveness, which is a wonderful thing to learn about.
So you were experiencing a difficult time there, obviously, and this sounds like a pretty major fork in the road here, because a fork in the road is the word forgiveness. That's a huge fork in the road right there. You had a choice to make of either forgiving or holding unforgiveness, or holding a grudge, being angry, letting bitterness sit in and all that. Talk a little bit more about how, through the power of the Holy Spirit, how you were able to, I'm assuming, walk in love and forgiveness towards him.
It was not easy. Every altar call, I think I said I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit during this time, and I went to every meeting I could. I was Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, for those of you who know that. I was not Assembly of God. I came in through that way. But there were always altar calls for forgiveness, and I would keep going forward. And I'd tell my friend Edith, I'd say, you know, I want to, but I still remember. It still hurts. And these, you know, things would still stay in my mind that didn't feel good. She taught me, and I'll tell you, she said, you have chosen to forgive. You will always remember because you have a brain, but it won't hurt anymore one of these days. Well, I think it was about 2 years of battling that forgiveness that one day it didn't hurt. And I would tell you, if you need to forgive somebody, do it. And it might take a while, or you might have a miracle and get it done on one prayer. I did not.
Why do you think it took a couple of years? What was going on? Any understanding of that, or just everyone's wired differently?
I have no idea.
There wasn't anything that happened that just kind of triggered that all of a sudden. Hey, you know what? I can forgive him.
I think it was persistence.
Just keep hitting away at that until it yielded. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing, he came and went like 14 times in 1 year. And so I'd forgive him, and then he'd leave again, and then I'd have to, you know, do it again and again. And so it took me a long time, but it did happen, and yeah. Praise God for that.
So, again, what would you say to people that are maybe either here or folks that are watching on Facebook Live, which, by the way, we got another congregation out there listening right now. Yeah, sorry to put that to you, but... Just what would you say to people that are listening today about when they're right here in the middle of a situation where it may not be a marriage, it could be you know, they got fired from a job, or maybe they were lied about, someone, you know, stole something from them, who knows? What would you say to folks that are struggling in unforgiveness? It took you a couple of years of persistence. What would you say to people that are struggling with this?
I'd say keep praying, and God, I want to, you know, but you're going to have to accomplish it in my heart.
Just keep praying, huh? And the prayer is more of like a help my unbelief, right? That sort of idea of I want to do this, but it's a struggle. Yeah. I know there's a lot of folks that can relate to that, because we got the flesh, you know, that wants to hold it against us and hold it against that person, I should say. They did me wrong, and so I want them to hurt. But we have to understand that when we think we're hurting them, we're actually hurting ourselves when we hold unforgiveness. And when we hold in that unforgiveness, when we hold it in and not release it and say, Lord, help me to forgive like you forgive me, it'll take you down a fork in the road that you will not want, that you will not enjoy. And it'll turn into bitterness. You'll look at everything and everybody in a way that you don't want to, and it's not going to be good for you. Aren't you thankful that God has forgiven us? And Jesus says, I need you to forgive others as I've forgiven you. And it's so hard for us to do, but it's really a mandate of us walking in love and forgiveness towards others if we're going to be called a Christian, right? I think there's a lot of unforgiveness in the church.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, because we've all had unfair things done to us, but... that's essential. But through that time, I went through great rejection, great unworthiness, great fear. I had two little boys, and by the time he actually got a divorce, I was a counselor in high school, and I worked with so many students who had parents who were divorced, and the devastation of living with maybe mom and going to dad on the weekend and coming back, and he couldn't talk about having a good time or anything nice about that woman, you know. So I tried so hard not to badmouth their daddy in front of my children. And, I don't know where I'm going with that, but... But it was a hard time, and that was the biggest fork, you know.
You're saying that the fork in the road is that you chose to forgive ultimately, and that helped you to continue.
I chose to follow God rather than go like my counselor said, you know, go out and get a job and be happy. I chose to pursue the Lord.
Yeah. Would you say that through that he was faithful, looking back at?
He's been faithful, so faithful.
How did the Lord sustain you through that?
Just keeping at it. And I was so excited when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'd been a Christian since I was 14, but I don't know, Scripture didn't really open up until after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And understanding and being able to witness and to see things that I couldn't see before. Before, I figured everybody was saved if they were, you know, were halfway decent. And but then I could be around people and know that there's this need, So where are we?
Well, you were... You, the fork in the road where you chose to walk in love and forgiveness ultimately towards your husband, and now you're working at a high school as a counselor with two boys. How old were Scott and Stephen?
They were 9 and 11 when he left.
How did they deal with it? I know, Stephen, you're here, but I don't know if you want to speak for them, how they did.
Seemingly okay. I've worked with nieces that have... their parents have divorced, and they talk freely about what they were feeling and the hurt and all that. My sons never have. I've asked them, told them to ask me anything, talk about anything. No, we're fine. So I trust they're fine, or either they found somebody good to talk to because they didn't talk to me.
Yeah, boy, isn't that fun having children? They open up to everybody but you sometimes, don't they?
But I think they're both well-adjusted, and I do want to say that God can turn anything into good. And a good from this is that my husband was a Methodist, and we went to church when it was convenient, but there was nothing really spiritual in our marriage. With me getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my children are saved, my grandchildren are saved, and so I don't know that that would have happened, you know, had I stayed with him. And
so thankful that God turns things around. You know, what was the old phrase, this is what the devil means for evil, God turns it around for good. Yeah, situations that happen in our life where people make choices, like your husband, your ex-husband made a choice to have an affair and brought you to a place of being single. It's something that you didn't want. You didn't want to be single. You didn't want to be divorced. Did you ever get remarried?
Yes.
You got to put that up there. Yeah.
Yes, I had a two-year second marriage.
A two-year second marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forget about that.
Okay. you want to just kind of skip over that one, or is there anything in there you want to talk about? All right. It's like a little advertisement, you know.
But I want to mention the importance of...
How many's ever had a situation like that where you just want to forget about it, right? Okay, that's all right. All right.
the importance of Scripture. It's like magic. Before I read you this scripture, one time my four-year-old granddaughter was with me, and we were reading Psalm 34, and I would read a verse, and she would read a verse. And we'd done this, she was staying with me for a little while, so we'd done this for days, and she about knew the whole chapter. But this one day, I got to that verse where it says, and keep your lips from telling lies. And she was sitting on my lap. She was a tiny little thing sitting on my lap with her back to me. And so when I said, and keep your lips from speaking lies, she said, and keep your lip. Grandmother, I have to. And I said, you have to what? She said, I have to tell lies. And I said, why do you have to tell lies? She said, I have to tell lies or I'll get in trouble. Well, I tried to, you know... talk about that a little bit, but she was mad, and she slammed the Bible shut, and she said, let's go fix breakfast. Well, it was so pronounced that I told her parents about this, and Robin said, "That's interesting. She's been telling lies for 2 weeks. Telling lies right and left, even when they're not necessary." And so then 2 weeks later, Robin said, "Hannah is not telling." Oh, I wasn't going to say her name. Well, Hannah is not telling lies. I knew Scripture convicted me, but I had not thought that a little child, it could. So I urge you, if you've got little children or grandchildren, pour it in them, because they can get it. But anyway, I wanted to share this Scripture that was meant so much to me. Because when you go through divorce, especially if you're not the one choosing it, you go through a lot of self-examination, and you don't feel very good about yourself. You know, you feel like, what's wrong with me? But anyway, one day I was reading in Isaiah 54, "Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the approach of thy widowhood anymore." Now, I was not a widow, so I know you're not supposed to change Scripture, but I stuck divorcee in there. "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." And then, "The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and with a wife of youth when you were refused, saith the Lord. In a small moan I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you." And so that really spoke to my heart, that God would be my husband, God would be my provider, God would be the in-house father to my children. And that Scripture meant a whole bunch.
So how has he bore that out in from the time you were, was it 36, did you say? To 36 to now, how has the Lord bore that out to you, that Scripture? What are some things, examples of how he's been faithful?
Well, he's been a wonderful father to my children. He has been a great provider. As I say, my married years, we were getting educated, so we did not have much money. I had barely gotten a job, working a year when my husband left. And so, provision. I had to take, by the way, I had to take early retirement because I have had two brain tumors and two surgeries 10 years apart. I had cancer during all this time. And so money was about nil. Okay, so I took early retirement because I don't hear out of one ear and I don't see much out of this eye. And so anyway, I couldn't operate very well in the high school, so I retired. One day I get a letter in the mail, and it's from the state of North Carolina. There's a lawsuit that had been filed, and what do you call that, a class action thing? So the state of North Carolina sent me $50,000. I did not know that there was a suit filed. And I thought of that Scripture, "The Lord will fight your battles for you." Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was in a battle.
Yeah, amen.
So that was $50,000. And then on another occasion, this is big provision. Mm-hmm. Or to me it's big.
That's big, very big.
It's very big. Mm-hmm. And then I had a aunt through marriage. I'd met her like three times, my mother-in-law's sister. They had a bank in Indianapolis, and Aunt Margaret was... she's about 95, 105.
She's still going, huh?
Still going.
Good for her.
But on the times I'd met her, we really bonded, and she was a fine Christian woman. So one day I get a letter in the mail from her and her husband, saying that they're devastated at what their nephew had, you know, done, and they wanted to ease my situation a little bit, and so they gave me some bank stock. They owned a bank, People's Bank in Indianapolis. And so those are two occasions where great provision came in, and I was able to, some of you have been to my house, it's not big and not elaborate, but it's a sweet little place and suits me fine. And yeah. I have a car and it works, and I got clothes. And
well, I'm glad you wore them this morning.
Me too. You'd be very glad.
Yeah. So God, through the years, has been faithful to you. The provision that he's made for you from a 36-year-old divorcee with two little boys, 9 and 11 years old, and through all of this, you could have gotten mad at God. You could have blamed him. Lord, I received you when I was 14. I've tried to serve you all these years. 22 years later, my husband up and leaves me after cheating on me. And here I am, 36 years old with two little boys. What do I do? And you could have made a choice to say, hey, I'm just going to go do whatever. But you stayed faithful to the Lord, and God stayed faithful to you. I would say that's a pretty major fork in the road for you. If you are going through a situation in your life today where, whatever it would be, it may not be a divorce situation, it may be something else, but it's a major fork where you can choose to either trust in the Lord or not. And I think the theme that we're hearing throughout these last 3 weeks is that God is faithful and that he can be trusted. When you go through situations in your life, they're not pleasant. We now know that Faye grew up in a home where she didn't get taught the Lord. She had a tough dad, and she had no understanding of the gospel except for someone inviting her to church, and she was 14 or 10 years old, 14 in 14 years old in 10th grade. And then going through, you know, the younger part of her life, and then with two boys, and now she gets a divorce because her husband decided he wanted to be with someone else. And then you're wondering what's going on, but she's had two tumors and some cancer, and so physical sickness occurred in her life more than once. And yet God is faithful through all of this. And Faye, you've had many opportunities to say, no, I've had enough of this. But what is it in you, what is it about your understanding of who God is that has made you hold on tightly through every circumstance in your life to keep your faith in the Lord?
I never thought I had any other, I mean, it just, he kept me. You know, I really can't take credit for it. He's so faithful.
Yeah. Yeah, the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, right?
I will say about my daddy, who was hard and very strict, he taught me respect for authority, because if he said it and I didn't do it, my head could get knocked off. So it was hard for me, I mean, easy for me to believe teachers and policemen and whoever in authority. And he was so strict that there's no way I could have, well, drugs was not a big problem to my knowledge that many years ago, but he drank quite a bit, so I despised alcohol, so that was not, we couldn't date, so I couldn't get in trouble that way. So, I mean, I was straight, but not because I was good. It was just because I would have gotten killed had I not been good.
You wanted to live.
So I was good up until I got saved. So then I just stayed as righteous as I could, because he just drew me. I can't take much credit for it.
Through every situation, though, it sounds like the Lord has sustained you. But it was a choice you made to run towards him.
When I was 14.
To depend on him. And then through every consequential thing that happened in your life, you made the choice to turn to God instead of away from him, knowing that he was your strength, knowing that he was your source, knowing that he was your sustainer. He's faithful and he could be trusted. I know there's people that are going through a lot today, and there's folks that are listening today on Facebook too. And I would like for you to pray, lead us in prayer, if you would. Just pray for folks that are going through struggles. You've listed at least a couple of things: a divorce and single mom, consequential things from there, but also going through some sickness in your life. And actually, three things now that I think about it, because financially, you know, God just has blessed you different ways, but he ultimately is our source. But maybe people that are struggling with some sort of sickness, some sort of relational thing, or some sort of financial thing. There's, in other words, people that are struggling right now. You have the benefit of hindsight, and you're looking back and seeing that God has been faithful as you've placed your trust in him. But there's people that are right in the middle of it right now. They don't have that privilege right now. So can you lead us in prayer that God would give us what we lack in our faith and trust, and really that whole benefit of hindsight is not there, but knowing that he's got us in his hands. I know there's folks here that are struggling, and I would like for us to all bow our heads in prayer this morning. And if you have a situation in your life, as Faye leads us in prayer, and now that you know a little bit more about her, she's praying not only from what she understands of God's word, but also from experience that God has been faithful with her, to her, and through her, and he can be trusted no matter what. Faye, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Oh, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you were there and that you were yearning for us to look to you in every situation. Father, I know that you have the answers to anything, everything that anyone is going through. And I pray that somehow that one that is needing you right now will be drawn to you and will somehow call out to you rather than to another source. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you with all of our heart and that we don't lean to our own understanding, because we can't understand what's down the road and what is even today. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters and those who don't know you, that by your Spirit you will draw them, for I feel that that's what you did for me, that in spite of me, you made me aware of you and drew me to yourself. And you've led me now for 81 years, and I just thank you, and help those in need. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you give, I'm sorry. Hold on just a minute.
He has not led me 81 years. I'm not 81 and 14. No, I'm just 81. I said he's led me 81 years, but.
Oh, I see. So that makes you 95. Yeah. No.
Or more.
Yeah. He has kept you alive for 81 years and been faithful. Let's give Faye a hand this morning. Yeah, people are going to come up to you after and say, man, Faye, you look really good for 95. All right. Next week, we have one more week of hearing the fork on the road, and it's going to be Shekinah, who gave us a word from the Lord here this morning, and she has a great story to tell, too. You know what? We could probably go for 2 or 3 years and everybody give a story, because everybody has a story. And I know that we can relate, because all of us, the longer we live, the more that we will experience something where God can be faithful if we'll allow him to. So I want to leave this with you, two things. God is faithful, and God can be trusted. And as we sang that last song this morning, our battle is in our, this is how we fight our battles, is through our praise, right? Every battle that you go through, you will go through a battle. You will. And that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It just means that we live on this old stinking earth where there's sin and situations and there's sickness and people. And, you know, this world would be great if it was just me, right? Have you ever said that? This world would be great if it wasn't for people, right? Yeah. But there's sin. And sin brings sickness and difficult situations. But we know that Christ is with us and he's faithful. And Faith, thank you for sharing. Now that you're going to see Faith sitting here and you're going to say, wow, I just thought she was just this sweet lady who just loved Jesus and all that. And she is. But now you get an understanding of where the Lord has brought her from and where the Lord is bringing you to, by the way, because your journey is not by no means over. I love you and appreciate you. Kelly and I think the world of you and your family. You are precious, precious, precious people, all of you guys. Next week, Shekinah. And then I'm going to... I'm going to do a 2-3 week series. I'm not sure exactly how long, but how many knows that the clock is ticking before the Lord returns? And I want to give you an update of where we are in our time frame of the last days. If you're interested in the last days, which we are living in, I'm going to take a few weeks and just remind you of some things and maybe even bring some things to you that you don't know about of where we are in the last days. I believe the Lord's return, it could be today. We're that close. There's nothing else that needs to happen. I'll just whet your appetite with that a little bit, but in a couple of weeks we'll start and we'll go maybe 2-3 weeks on that, okay? Gearing up to Easter, we're going to talk about the Lord's second coming, but then the Lord's first coming is coming up real soon on Easter Sunday, April the 21st. Looking forward to that. So let's make sure we invite all of our friends and folks to that as well. Again, thank you, Faye. Would you give Faye another hand this morning? If you need prayer at all for anything, we would love to pray with you up here. We're going to dismiss you all. And Faye, if you want to just maybe stay up here for a few minutes and let folks come up and hug you and all, I'm sure they want to share some things with you. But would you stand with me this morning? Or would you stand as I'm seated? Actually, I'll stand with you. How's that? Yeah. All right. Father, go with us from this place, and we thank you, Lord, for the good word that we've heard this morning, the good worship as you've inhabited our praise. Father, remind us that you are faithful by your Spirit. Remind us that you can be trusted. And Father, every situation that we're going through, we lay it at your feet, leave it in your strong hands. Now, Father, now that we've had church here this morning, help us to go out and be the church. Go with us, keep us safe, and we pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.